Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Berger speaker. On the broadcast today, we are going to continue with our studies on the subject of prayer. And today we wish to consider the subject, God's answers to our prayers. And we're going to go to the scriptures and see how God answers our prayers, and we will place them in four different kinds of answers. One is the direct answer, then there is the delayed answer, there is the differing answer, and finally there is the denied answer. God says no, and no is an answer. Now we wish to see the examples in the scriptures that illustrate these different points, God's answers to our prayers. As to the direct answer to our prayer, I think that little incident in Mark chapter 1 of the healing of the leper is so precious. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, we read there, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." And oh, how supremely happy that leper was. He asked to be cleansed, and God answered his prayer. God the Son answered his prayer directly, just as he had prayed it. Now, in John chapter 4, we have the healing of a nobleman's son. He came to the Lord Jesus on one occasion, and he said, "Sir, come and heal my son. He is desperately ill," or words to that effect. And the Lord told the man, he says, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And he says, "Sir, come, ere my child die." And the Lord Jesus told him, "Thy son liveth. Go thy way. Thy son liveth." And he left him. And as he was going home, his servants met him with the good news that his son was healed. They told him, "Your son lives." He said, "When did he begin to heal?" They said, "Yesterday at the seventh hour." And then that nobleman knew that was the very hour that Christ said, "Thy son liveth." A direct answer to his prayers. And then there's the healing of the blind man. In Luke chapter 18, a blind beggar, the Lord had been to Jericho, was coming out of Jericho, and the beggar was sitting by the highway side begging. He heard that Jesus was passing by, and he called out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he cried. And finally they brought him to the Lord Jesus, and he says, "What wilt thou that I should do for you?" And he says, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And he says, "Thy faith has saved thee. Receive thy sight." And he received his sight, and he followed him in the way. And the Lord told him, "Now go home and tell your friends what God has done for you." Now, this was a direct answer to prayer. He got just exactly what he asked for. The psalmist praises God in Psalm 34 and verse 6. We read there, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his difficulties," out of all his trouble, rather. Now, his answer to prayer was direct. Isn't it a thrill when God answers your prayers directly? But not all the prayers of God are answered directly. Some of them are delayed. I'm thinking of the healing of Jairus' daughter. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. His daughter was ill, and he went for the Lord, and the Lord came, and the Lord told him his daughter's plight, that she was desperately ill. The Lord says, "I'll come and heal her." And so he came right along, but they were delayed. The crowd was so bad about them, that is, the crowd thronged them, and they moved slowly. Finally, a woman worked her way through the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment. And she says, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." She did it, and she was healed. And about that time, a man came from the Jairus' house, and he says, "Your daughter is dead." The Lord says, "Don't fear. Be of good cheer. I'll come with you." And so he took with him James and John and went to the Jairus' house. The musicians were playing. They were mourning. And the Lord says, "She's not dead, but sleepeth." They laughed at him. But he put them all out, and he took the parents and James and John in with him, and he took the daughter by the hand, and he said, Talitha Kumai, maid, I say unto thee, arise, and she rose from the dead. Now there was a delay, but God's delays are not denials. And then in the case of the raising of Lazarus in John chapter 11, a long chapter, Mary and Martha sent to the Lord Jesus, some distance away, 2 days' journey away, and said, he whom thou lovest is sick. And so the Lord says, he delayed rather 2 days longer in the place where he was. And finally, he came to Jerusalem, 2 days' journey. So it was 4 days' elapse between the time that the sisters called him, and he was there. In the meantime, Lazarus died. And they were so sorry. They thought, they reproached the Lord, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. He says, where is he? They took him to the graveside. It was a tomb. And he said, he called out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, bound in grave clothes. He said, loose him and let him go. Now there was a denial, or there was a delay rather, but not a denial. Yes, the Lord delayed purposely that he might let Lazarus die, that they might see his power. And you know, as the result of Lazarus' resurrection, many believed on the Lord. When the Lord delays the answers to our prayers, he has a reason. Then there are the pleas of the martyrs. In Revelation chapter 6, we read there of the martyrs that have been slain in the great tribulation. They ask the Lord, how long is it going to be before you revenge our blood upon those that slew us? And the Lord told them to be quiet, to be peaceful. And he said, when your brethren are slain, then we will avenge you. And they did. The Lord did, he will, rather, as it will be in the future time. That is speaking of the future, of course. Now, those delays were not denials. Now, some of his answers are differing answers. In the 21st chapter of Numbers, a very famous chapter, we read about the fact that the children of Israel came to the land of Edom. They were not granted passage through Edom. They had to go around Edom through the desert. And it was hot, and they complained against Moses and against the Lord. And as a result, God was angry with them, and he sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people of Israel, and many of them died. They came to Moses. They said, Moses, we've sinned against God and against you. Ask the Lord to take away these fiery serpents. Moses went into the presence of the Lord, and he prayed their prayer. The Lord said, make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it will come to pass that if any man looks to that serpent of brass on the pole after he's been bitten by the fiery serpent, he'll be healed. You know it worked? It worked. Now, that was a differing answer, but for a reason. God did not take away the fiery serpents, but he sent a remedy. Because that fiery serpent, or that serpent of brass, rather, on the pole was lifted up just like the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up, that you and I might have some place to look when we realize that the poison of sin is coursing through our veins. Incidentally, how did the poison of sin come into us? Through a serpent in the Garden of Eden. You see, the story fits. And now you and I have a place to look when we realize we have been bitten by sin. The poison of sin is within us. And God wants us to look at that cross and see what he did about our sins when he gave his son to die on that cross for you and for me. And the Lord Jesus was lifted up that we might have some place to look. Have we looked at the cross? Have we seen what God has done about our sins? Now, there are other differing answers. In Ephesians 3 and 20, we have them spoken of there in a kind of a veiled form. I'll read the scripture and explain it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now listen, please. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, he is able to change our prayers into something greater than we prayed for. When his prayers are differing, they are differing for a reason. He's got something better for us. We don't always get what we pray for. Now we come to the fourth class of prayers, those that are denied. Moses, in the third chapter of Deuteronomy, is recounting the fact that when he smote the rock in the wilderness the second time, when he should have just spoken to it, he smote the rock the first time and the water came out. But the second time, they got thirsty. And again, they came to Moses and said and complained. And the Lord told Moses, now go to that rock and this time speak to it. Moses went and he was so angry, he smote the rock. And God said, for that, you're not going into the promised land. Moses, three times, he prayed to go into the promised land. God said, no. That was his answer. Now his prayer was denied for a reason. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Three times in the second chapter of second book of Corinthians, chapter 12, Paul asks that that thorn might be removed. We read there in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, for this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, this thorn in the flesh. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He did not answer his prayer, even though he prayed it three times. The saddest one and the most significant one of all is the prayer of our Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, recorded in Luke 22:41-42, when he was praying about the cup that was in the Father's hand. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he prayed that prayer three times, and God did not answer that prayer. He had to drink the cup. And I'm so glad he did, because he went to the cross and he died for you and for me. There was a reason for that denial. God had a great, great salvation for you and for me. Thank God in his wisdom. He knows when to answer our prayers and just how to do it. Father, we thank you today for strengthening our faith by these examples in the scriptures. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.